You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Canada's one of the countries that celebrates Thanksgiving, and we've just finished a series, God's at War, on discovering the things on the inner desires that conflict within us. And we're going to go on to a new series next Sunday. But in between that, we want to just have a one-off sermon on Thanksgiving. Canada's been celebrating Thanksgiving for many, many years, even before the formation of our country. It was actually Martin Frobisher celebrated one back in the 1500s when to celebrate and give thanks to God for a safe passage from England over to Newfoundland, the far eastern part of our nation. So Canada has been having them for a long time. It's been a development over the years before it became a statutory holiday, and there's not all 10 provinces of Canada have a stat. They celebrate Thanksgiving, but Ontario is one of those provinces that we actually, for the most part, get a day off. So I hope that if you get tomorrow off, that you'll be able to have some good time and take the break and also be thankful. I grew up on Vancouver Island on the far west coast of Canada in a small town called Port Alberni on the far west coast. Next stop west is Japan. And I grew up in a small Baptist church, and one of my earliest memories of Thanksgiving was some people in the church, I assume it was mostly ladies, but they would make this amazing harvest kind of food display at the front of the church. I have a picture of one like it. I don't have one that's actually from my childhood, but I do have one here that is sort of representative, something like this. And it was the first time as a child that I really became conscious of, I was probably maybe 6 years old or something, and thinking, wow, that's a lot of food. And it was so nice looking, and it really dawned on me for the first time that we live in a land of plenty, and there was an abundance of food, and it was the first time that registered within me that, you know, I've never had to go to bed hungry. I've never, it was just something, even as a young child, that clicked that we're in a prosperous nation, that we're blessed to be in this country, and God has blessed Canada and blessed many other nations, of course, but with tremendous prosperity, and for this, we're thankful. But I've also realized that it's not always easy to be thankful, and so we have this kind of running joke about, will the pastor's message points have alliteration? Will they all start with B, or will they all start with, you know, whatever? And so I don't normally do this, but today I did. So we're going to look at the priority of Thanksgiving. We're going to look at the problem of Thanksgiving, or why it's difficult, and then the practice of Thanksgiving. A scripture that we looked at in our series over the last few weeks was the first chapter of Romans, where Paul begins to, one of the primary writers of the New Testament, where he begins to open up what the gospel is and giving the big picture of the Christian worldview. And he talked about the creation of the world and how God made the whole world. And because God made the whole world, everybody can understand that this just didn't come here somehow, but there has to be some sort of design, demands a designer and things like this, and that there is actually a natural inclination that all people everywhere worship and are religious. In other words, they look to something beyond themselves. There's this innate understanding in all people. And then he goes on in this scripture of talking about how we decline from the acknowledgement of that down into worshiping other things. And I'm going to pick it up in Romans 1, 19 to 23. This is what Paul said. For what can be known about God is plain to them because he has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal gods for the images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So it says here that The way that we are in right order with God and his universe is that we honor him as God. We give him thanks. He is the one who causes good things to happen. Our job is to reciprocate with an acknowledgement of it. And when we don't do that, look at what it says. When we don't do that, when we don't honor him as God or give him thanks, we become futile in our thinking and our hearts get darkened. We become futile in our thinking and our hearts become darkened. And all of a sudden, instead of worshiping and looking to the greatest thing, which is God, we begin to look to things that are creative, less than. And they can be many things. You see, our heart, when we quit worshiping God, we don't go into a neutral stance. Our hearts aren't like that. They need to look to something. Our hearts are wired so that they have to have a sense of anticipation and trust and looking towards something. And so when we don't honor and give thanks to God, we'll worship something. We might not think of, bowing down worship. What the Bible talks about in this idea is that our hearts are going to look towards something for our security, for our significance, things like that, these great needs that we have. But the proper cycle is a cycle of God's blessing and our thanksgiving. There was a time in when Jesus was on earth and he was displaying his powers, displaying that he was the Son of God and the Son of Man, and there was some lepers, 10 of them, that cried out to him for healing. And he healed them, but not all of them came and returned thanks. And I'm going to pick up the story here. It's recorded in Luke 17, starting in verse 19. It says, "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he met 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed or healed of their leprosy. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?' And he said to them, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" A Samaritan was a mixed race person, and they were despised at that time. And so you've got 10 guys who had leprosy. They needed healing. And like I said, we believe in the miraculous power of God. We believe that a transcendent God who made the whole world can enter into it. It's only a miracle from our vantage point. When the infinite breaks into the finite, we call it a miracle, but it's just the higher power breaking out into our world. And so Jesus demonstrated who he was to say, look, I can fix any problem here as I walk the face of the earth. And he healed these 10 guys. 9 of them were good standing Jewish guys. And I think that probably in some ways they were feeling maybe a little bit entitled, or maybe all they wanted to get was things from God. But then this foreigner, this one who is a despised person, the Samaritan, the non-entitled person, he was the one who stopped and he went back to Jesus and he said, thank you. And then Jesus responded, rise your way, go, your faith has made you well. The completion of the cycle of God's action and then our response and saying thank you completes the cycle and puts things back into the harmony. See, Jesus, I don't know what happened to the other 9. I don't know if they kept their healing. I don't know what it was, but there was something that Jesus looked at and said there was a deficiency. So for many different reasons, there is a priority on Thanksgiving. There's something about it that we are supposed to enter into Thanksgiving. It's a really important understanding for our hearts and our lives to go well and to be in harmony with the way that God has made us and made this world. But there's not only a priority of Thanksgiving. When you start to think about this, it's not easy always to be thankful. And so that's where the problem of Thanksgiving comes in. And part of the problem is that we're supposed to give thanks in every season and in every circumstance. So here's what's hard. When things are going well, it's easy to forget to be thankful. And when things are difficult, it's hard to be thankful because we're in a tight spot. We're under a lot of pressure. Ecclesiastes 3 says that there is a season for everything under the sun, a time to weep and a time to laugh. So when we think, let me explain seasons a little bit. So dating and marriage. There was a time many years ago where I fell in love with this young lady named Sheila from Kitchener. Went to school in Toronto and then moved all the way to Western Canada. And I met her. And our first date was, I didn't even know it was a date, but I invited her to help me shop for a brass lamp. And I wanted, brass was in style back in those days. And we bought that lamp. And then we began to date and we felt that God was leading us to be together. We still have that lamp, by the way, somewhere tucked away. I think the shade is mangled, but it was so fun. And it's like you could just like spend time together and you didn't really have to worry about anything except for planning a wedding. And then you get married and you have a honeymoon and then time goes on and then you realize that, whoa, marriage isn't like the dating and honeymoon. Like that's just a part of it. And then you realize that, you know, two imperfect people are sharing close proximity for a long time. And both of them, they're not angels. Each of them have a sin-loving nature and that clashes. And so there's seasons of difficulty as well. And it makes it hard sometimes to give thanks for your marriage when you're having that. And all you married people, I know that you don't have fights. You just have intense discussions. Okay, children, then another phase of life, you know, children being born and you're going to plan a baby shower. And nowadays, you know, they're like unveiling of the sex of the baby and all these different things. It's all this fun. And then the baby's born and then it's, you know, the mom gets no sleep. And then your children grow up and they start to misbehave. Even pastor's kids, especially a pastor's kids. They misbehave and all of a sudden you realize that, oh no, you know, this is what happened to that sweet baby? It was just gonna like kind of coo. What is this crying all night? And what about the terrible twos? And what about, and then they get into school and they have struggles and then they become teenagers. Oh my goodness. And they start rebelling and you know, testing their limits of what they're gonna do. And then they might get, like we have four kids and three of them drive and then you're passing them over with a vehicle and they're going out at night and driving. Oh my goodness, how do you sleep? So what about school? Many of you are students. Oh man, I got into that school. I got into OCAD. I got into U of T. I got into York. I got into Ryerson. I got into Humber. I got into George Brown. I got into whatever one you wanted to get into or your second or third choice, whatever it is. You got in. And you're so excited. And then all of a sudden, oh my, I thought I was one of the smart kids in high school. And now all the smart kids are all together. And the first time you don't get an A. And it's like, wow, it's hard. Or I talked to someone just last week. They're doing a graduate program and they're working on their research. And they've been stuck for a year. That's not easy. Or maybe you're a career person, you get that job. Oh man, I got a new job, I'm so excited. And then the first time there's workplace drama. You know what that is? You know, when the personalities don't get along, it's sort of like, you know, you spend a lot of time with your workmates, don't you? I mean, hours, especially if you're working close. I mean, you might spend more time with your workmates than you do your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. So the sparks fly and all of a sudden, you know, that great job that you love to go to is filled with workplace drama, or maybe, you know, there's a downturn in your industry and maybe you're could be laid off or close to being laid off. You got to get a new job and things like that. So these are all the seasons, but that's what makes it hard to give thanks is because there's all these different seasons in our life. I love the words of one of the songs we do here called Desert Song. I've got part of the lyrics up on the screen. It says, all of my life, in every season, You are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. I just love that line, in every season. It's a reminder that whether it's that season of joy and a season of bliss, or whether it's that season where it's challenging in any of these areas and many other areas of life. But even more challenging than the seasons, I think, it is when we come into a stressful situation or a difficult circumstances. It's what the Bible calls a trial. There's seasons of life that are like a trial. It feels like your life is on trial. In other words, it's getting really difficult. And God asks us to give thanks in every circumstance, not just in every season. Look at this scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5. This is Paul writing to the church there. He said, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In all circumstances. Last week, it's kind of ironic. I think it was Thursday. I was taking some extra time to prepare for this message, and I knew that I was going to have a difficult conversation with someone. You know, when there's those situations in life where it's confrontational in some way, or you have to bring up an issue, and I knew I had to do it, and all of a sudden it's like, ugh. It's like, for me, my stomach gets in a knot, anxiety rushes through my whole being, and it's like, oh no. And then I'm thinking, and I'm just trying to prepare a message on Thanksgiving, and I'm supposed to tell the people that they're supposed to be thankful in all circumstances. How ironic. How ironic. And then I realize, how can I be thankful right now? Because I was complaining to God, I don't like this situation, I hate having these times in life. And I thought, how can I ever give thanks right now? It's impossible. But then I began to reflect. And I want to just share a couple things that I came up with in this situation, which was very recent, of how, what we can do to reflect, to be thankful, even in a difficult situation or circumstance. So it's not just saying, okay, well, Lord, I praise you when this time goes, that this too shall pass, but in it. So the first thing I came up with was that I'm thankful for the spiritual self-awareness to acknowledge my feelings. You know, that's a growth. Christian author and pastor, his books, Pete Scazzaro, have been very popular lately. They're excellent, excellent books. But this is what he had to say. "When I began to allow myself to feel a wider range of emotions, including sadness, depression, fear, and anger, a revolution in my spirituality was unleashed. I soon realized that a failure to appreciate the biblical place of feelings within our larger Christian lives has done extensive damage, keeping free people in Christ in slavery." So even in a difficult situation, I'm able to say, you know what? I can become spiritually self-aware. What's going on? Because a lot of times in our lives, things are going on and they're just stuffed down and they come out in negative ways instead of processing them in a healthy way with what the Bible calls lament, and also just processing with God and others how we're feeling. Secondly, I am thankful for the opportunity to expose a potential idol of my heart and replace it with the specific gospel truth I need. Last week, Sheila talked about how when we talk about the particular idols or the particular things that we go to for comfort, or for when we're feeling a lack of power, we're feeling like we're losing control, or any of these other things, that normally in our lives there's something that she described as a fault line. The book of James says to confess your faults to one another, and she put up this image of the largest, or one of the largest fault lines in the world. It's the San Andreas Fault in California. And the San Andreas Fault in California is known that when there's an earthquake, you can almost guarantee it's where the earth's plates shift, and you know that that's likely along there where the main earthquakes are going to hit, because it's a fault line. And all of our, Sheila explained that all in all of our lives, we all have a fault line. My fault line is different than your fault line. We all have different ones. Maybe sometimes we can relate to one another's because they're similar. But the fact is, for me, is when I have to have a difficult conversation that involve a level of confrontation, I feel unprotected, vulnerable, and alone. I don't know where I got that from. Probably just my whole life experience has put that in me. And that's my fault, one of my fault lines. I know that that's why I get so upset when I have to have a little bit of a difficult conversation. I don't feel protected. I don't feel safe. I feel threatened. And it's what psychologists call the fight or flight mechanism. I either am going to, you know, amp it up in this conversation and nail the person, or I'm going to just figure out a way to avoid it. But in either way, that's not what we should be able to do, is process that emotion and move forward in it. So I began to reflect, am I really all alone? Is that the truth? Is that the truth? That's how I feel, but is that the truth? And because I know my Bible, all of a sudden, different scripture verses started to come to me, challenging my feeling with truth. And the first verse that popped into my mind was Psalm 32, verse 8. It says, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So God is saying, I got you. The specific gospel truth that I needed at the moment when my fault line was being disrupted was this. Or here's another one that came to mind, Psalm 121, 5 through 8. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And all of a sudden, I just began to hold on to these scriptures, to hold on to this truth in the moment. And so I was thankful that even though I still had to have a difficult situation, I was able to process it with the truth of the gospel, with the truth of God's word, and say, you know what? I'm not going out. It's a lie. I may feel all alone. I may feel unprotected. I may feel that. But the fact of the matter is, there's someone watching over me right now. There's someone watching over my life. There always has been someone watching over my life. He says that he has his eye on me right now. He says that he's counseling me. He's going to keep my going out and my coming in. And I began to think about it, and it's amazing how my feelings slowly began to shift to line up with the truth of God's word, and what Jesus procured for me through the gospel became truth and revelation in a greater way to my heart. And third thing that I was thankful for is that I'm thankful that more growth happens through times of pressure than when everything is easy. Have you ever noticed that in life? You see it in the natural. If you go to the gym and you work out with weights, when you do reps, as you do more and more reps, they get harder and harder until you can't do anymore. Now, as you're experiencing it, it feels like you're getting weaker and weaker, right? But in fact, by going to the gym and doing those repetitions, you're actually getting stronger and stronger. Isn't that an interesting illustration? You feel like you're getting weaker and weaker, but you're actually getting stronger and stronger. And I'm thankful when times of pressure come and we process it with God and others, what's happening is we're being transformed. We're becoming stronger spiritually. We're becoming stronger individuals. We're becoming stronger disciples, followers of Jesus. James 1, verse 2 through 4 says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. And so even when stressful times come, we can be thankful that God is doing a work in us. He is strengthening us. Those seasons that are challenging, as we hold on to Him, as we hold on to the Word, as we process all that we're feeling with the truth of the gospel, we're actually being transformed and we're being strengthened in our lives. And one more verse that I love on this topic, Hebrews 12:11, it says, "For the moment, all discipline or trials or hard times seem painful rather than pleasant." That is true. "But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So it talks about how in the moment, and it also says that God actually allows these times in our lives. When it talks about this discipline, it's not talking about the discipline that says you've done something wrong and I'm punishing you. It's not that. It's the discipline like going to the gym to get you better. There's a discipline of going to the gym to make you stronger. There's a discipline in things to make you a better person at the end. And this is what God actually has seasons where He allows things to maybe be a little bit more stressful in our lives, to maybe to have circumstances not go the exact way that we want. But He's up to something. He's up to transforming us and He's up to strengthening us. So I'm not saying it's easy to remain thankful. Thirdly, my third point here, my third P, is just a little bit on the practice of thanksgiving. The practice of thanksgiving. I think there's three general areas where we should be thankful. First of all, for what God has given us. For what God has given us. The reason why we need to focus on what God has given us is because if we don't, we'll focus on what we don't have. And if our life is always focused on what we don't have, we'll never be happy. We'll never be happy. It starts with gratitude. It starts with, okay, God, what have you given me? You know, for one thing, if you're sitting in this room and you're living in this nation, like I said before, you have a lot to be thankful for right there. Most people in the world don't have the privileges that we have. We recently sold our home in the United States and purchased one here in Canada. And as I'm just walking through this home, I'm just filled with thankfulness. You know, thank you, Lord. We didn't know if we'd ever be able to own a home again. And it was something that we put on the altar before God. But we're just thankful, Lord, for them. But then more than just material things in our job, but also what about the people in our lives, our family and our relationships? There's so many things that God has given us. The second area is what God has done for us. What God has done for us. Think about your life. How did you get to this point here? What are all the things, what are all the ways that God has protected you? Think of the times where maybe you were in an accident and you could have lost your life, a traffic accident, or maybe some other time where, you know, honestly, you've been rescued, that you did something really dumb as a teenager. Remember that season of the dumb stuff? Maybe you did some really stupid stuff and it could have went really bad, and you even maybe know some people or have read about people who you were on that verge, you were on that cusp. And God, by His grace, kept you back. So what has He done for you? And then the third category, and I think it's also super important, not just what God has given us, not just what God has done for us, but being thankful for who God is. Just who He is, apart from what He does for us, apart from what He gives to us, but just who He is. You know, we just sang about His love today. Just being thankful for who He is. He is a good, good Father. He is a loving God. You know, He is a powerful God. He is a holy God. But at the same time, He loves us. He cares about us. He's a beautiful God. He is a God worthy to be worshipped. There's no other being in all of creation, because He's not a created being like our God. And so we thank Him also for who He is. We're going to conclude our service by taking communion, the Lord's Supper. And I'd like us, for our communion reflection, just to be able to maybe personally take a few moments and say, God, I want to be thankful and just reflect, what have you given us? What have you given me? Personalize it. And what have you done for me? And also to praise him for who he is. Let's pray as I invite the band up and as we prepare our hearts also for communion. Father, we have so much to be thankful for. So many things, and we know that there's something of an order, a divine order, that when we are thankful, that when we honor you and give you thanks and look to you, the creator rather than the creation, that, Lord, there's just something right. It's a priority. We also acknowledge that sometimes, Lord, it is difficult through the different seasons of life, through the different circumstances of life. But, Lord, we choose to hold on to you through those times. And we thank you for all you've given us, for all you've done for us, and most of all, who you are.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.